Today on The Verdict with Pastor John Monroe.
You think of death as a defeat, as something sad, as something tragic, and in one sense it is, but from the Christian perspective, because Christ has conquered death, Paul can say that death is swallowed up in victory. I've called this message, Death Conquered.
Welcome to The Verdict, featuring the Bible teaching of Pastor John Monroe. Death is painful and horrible, and those who experience the loss of a loved one often feel overwhelmed and hopeless. But our Lord Jesus Christ has conquered death, and His victory gives His followers the assurance that death is not the end. Today on The Verdict, we continue a special lesson about the impact of the resurrection. Now, here's Pastor John Monroe.
Easter Sunday is a reminder that without the resurrection of Jesus, there is no gospel. Being an authentic follower of Jesus Christ is believing that Jesus is the Son of God, that He died on the cross for your sins, that He was buried, and that on the third day He rose again and is alive. And if you trust in Jesus Christ personally as your Savior and Lord, you will be saved. The last time we were looking at 1 Corinthians 15, the great chapter on the resurrection, and we learned that our Lord Jesus Christ has conquered death. Because He has risen, death is swallowed up in victory. There is no reason to fear. Let's learn more about our Lord Jesus conquering death. Only He can unlock the gates of heaven and let us in.
1 Corinthians chapter 15. The Apostle Paul is writing 1 Corinthians 15, verse 3. He says, I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures, that He was buried, and that He was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures, and that He appeared to Cephas, then to the 12. Then He appeared to more than 500 brothers at one time, most of whom are still alive, though some have fallen asleep. Now, what's Paul saying in this wonderful chapter in 1 Corinthians 15? Well, he's saying, first of all, that Christ has conquered death by bodily rising from the dead. Christianity stands or falls with the historical fact of the bodily resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. And the historical evidence for the resurrection of Jesus Christ is overwhelming. The tomb is empty. The body of Christ has gone. Not only did neither the Jews nor the Romans ever produce His body, Paul is saying that Jesus appeared to many people after His resurrection. You've got witness after witness after witness saying, we've seen the risen Christ. Here is the uniqueness and the brilliance of the Christian faith. On the cross, our Lord Jesus Christ paid the penalty for our sin, was buried, and on the third day, He rose from the dead, demonstrating that He has conquered death. We need to get that. He has conquered death. He's alive, bodily, yes, bodily, risen from the dead. Jesus says in a wonderful verse, John 8, verse 51, truly, truly, I say to you, if anyone keeps my word, he will never see death. You say, hold it, John. I thought you said we all die. That's true. What did Jesus mean then that says if we keep His word, we will never see death? Perhaps another saying of Jesus will help. You hear this one? John 11, Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. That is, while we may go through death, but death has been defeated. So in that sense, we never die because we will live forever. Paul's argument here is this. Because Christ conquered death, his followers will conquer death. Verse 16, 1 Corinthians 15, verse 16. Follow the argument. For if the dead are not raised, not even Christ has been raised. If there's no resurrection, even Christ wasn't raised. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile and you're still in your sins. Then also those who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If in Christ we have hope in this life only, we are of all people most to be pitied. He's saying this, if Christ wasn't raised from the dead, the whole of Christianity falls and you will not be raised from the dead. But verse 20, but in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead. The first fruits of those who have fallen asleep, a euphemism for death. For as by a man came death, who was that man? Adam. By a man, Christ, has come also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, we all sin, we all die, so also in Christ shall all be made alive. How wonderful. Because Christ has been raised from the dead, we have the absolute assurance that those who die trusting in Christ will also be bodily resurrection. You say, how does that work? Christ's bodily resurrection provides the power for the bodily resurrection of his followers. And the power of God that raised Jesus from the dead is the same power that will raise the bodies of his followers who have died. Verse 51, you ready for this? I tell you, brothers, verse 50, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. You by yourself will never, ever get into the kingdom of God. Nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep. That means we will not all die. But we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we shall be changed. For this perishable body must put on the imperishable. You following this? And this mortal body must put on immortality. When the perishable puts on the imperishable, and the mortal puts on immortality, then shall come to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. That's power, supernatural power, resurrection power, victory over sin and the powers of darkness and death itself. What a way to live, to face death, yes, and to live eternally. Four truths about the bodily resurrection of authentic followers of Jesus. Number one, we shall all be changed. We just read that. Verse 51, we shall all be changed. No, says Paul, not every follower of Jesus Christ will die. You say, John, you're contradicting yourself again. Here's an exception. Not every follower of Jesus will die. Why is that? Because one day, we don't know when, we believe very soon, the Lord Jesus Christ is returning. And when he returns, some marvelous things are going to happen. The dead in Christ, that is believers who have died, they will be raised first, their bodies, a bodily resurrection. You say, well, I thought when believers die, they went to be with the Lord. They do, their body, spirit goes to be with the Lord, absent from the body, at home with the Lord. That's true. But as followers of Jesus Christ, when one of our loved ones dies, we take great care of the body. After all, it's given by God. It's God who's given you that body. which was molded and shaped in your mother's womb as you've grown, that body with great love is now laid in the grave. And when the Lord Jesus Christ comes, those who have died in Christ will be raised first. The Lord Jesus Christ, who is alive, is coming back. And when that happens, every single one of us will be changed. The dead in Christ will be changed. We who are alive will be changed, will be transformed. Number one. Number two, our resurrected bodies will have a continuity with our present bodies. We need to grasp this. To me, this is wonderful. Our resurrected bodies will have a continuity with our present bodies. It's true they're going to be changed, but there's a continuity with our present bodies. In the resurrection, there is a continuity of identity. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 35. But someone will ask, some of us here, how were the dead raised? With what kind of body do they come? Are you asking that? You know, that's a foolish question. I thought it was a pretty good question. But Paul says, verse 36, you foolish person. In other words, you should know better. What you sow, follow this, what you sow does not come to life unless it dies. You're planting something, that seed goes in the ground, it dies. What you sow does not come to life unless it dies. And what you sow is not the body that is to be, of course not, but a bare kernel, perhaps of wheat or of some other grain. But God gives it a body as he has chosen, and to each kind of seed its own body. He's taking an analogy from nature. You plant a seed. Before that seed grows, it dies, and it begins to grow into a plant. And there is a continuity between the seed that is grown and the plant and the fruit that comes. Incidentally, when believers die, we don't become angels. People say, I don't know where that idea came from. We don't become angels. In a sense, we become something better than angels. We're sons of God. We're part of the family of God. So in the resurrection, there's a change, but there's a continuity. Here is someone racked with disease, their body. Perhaps they've had illness for a few months. They're going to be changed, but the individuality of that person is going to continue. Do you realize that we're told that every 7 years, there's a complete change of cells in our bodies? But do we lose our individual identity? No. And you can undergo all of the cosmetic surgery you can afford. You can wear a wig, which I refuse to do so. You can use Botox. You can have antioxidant creams and all the rest of it. And I'm not saying any of these things are wrong. Don't feel that I'm judging you, just a little bit. But I'm not really judging you. But I'll tell you this. You can't stop the aging process. It can't. You can't do it. You are changing, but your individuality continues. A few years ago, Goody and I were over in the UK at an event. Some of my friends and relatives were there. Some of them we hadn't seen for 30 or 40 years. It's quite a shock, isn't it? I mean, you look and you think, whoa. I said to Goody, look at that. I mean, the years have not been kind. And you realize they're looking at you and saying, whoa. What happened to John Monroe? And say, yeah, it is me. We do look a little different. Of course, our wives look even better as they age, don't they, men? Yes. Well, if it's true with you, sir, I'm glad. It's certainly true with my wife. I have to say that. But the fact is, We change. Age changes us, but we're still the same individual. We're still the same person. And when we're resurrected, we're not going to be resurrected as pure spirits. Christ was bodily raised from the dead, and Paul is saying that our resurrected bodies are going to be supernatural. There is going to be a transformation. We are going to be free from sin, no longer perishable but imperishable, no aging, no disease, no decay, no death, but we will retain for all of eternity our individuality. No longer dishonorable, but now glorious. No longer weak, but now strong. No longer natural, but now spiritual. What a transformation. Perfect spiritual bodies. Here's the last one. Our resurrected bodies will be like Christ's body. Here's Paul, Philippians 3, verse 20. For our citizenship is in heaven. Keep looking to it. And from it, we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Notice what Paul says now, verse 21, who will transform our lowly body to be like his glorious body by the power that enables him even to subject all things to himself. That's power, isn't it? In the Christian life, we use a word, sanctification. You heard it? You say, what on earth does it mean? When we are saved by the grace of God, we call that justification. Our sins are forgiven. God's verdict on us is that we are justified. We're now, if we die, we'll go right to be with the Lord. We are justified. But now, as we live our Christian life, we're in the process of sanctification. What's sanctification? It's becoming more and more like Jesus. It's a beautiful thing, isn't it? When someone who says they're a Christian, we see over the years that they're becoming more and more like Christ. More loving. The dirty tongue that they had has now gone. Once they were a very greedy person, now they're generous. What's happened? The work of the Spirit of God in them. We're becoming more and more like Christ. We say, well, to become perfectly like Christ. No, we don't. We know that. We know that in ourselves, don't we, that we're still capable of sin. We're still capable of ugly thoughts and unkind deeds. But there is going to be a day when we are perfectly like Jesus Christ. That's incredible, isn't it? What a thought. We're sons of God. We're in the family of God. And is it so, I shall be like thy son? Yes, it is. That one day, you and I, if we're born again by the Spirit of God, will be perfectly like Jesus Christ, transformed, but in a miraculous way, still retaining our individuality for all of eternity. Isn't God great? Isn't God gracious? That not only does he save us, not only does he adopt us into his family, but one day, we call it our glorification, we'll be perfectly like Jesus Christ. You say, John, well, what's the response? I have three responses. One, be eternal in your thinking. You're heading for eternity. Did you ever think about it? Perhaps it's time, sir, to do that. That you're not ready to meet God. And you're living as if you're here forever. You won't. In a moment. Job says about the wealthy, he says, in a moment they go down to the grave. Whether you're wealthy, whether you're poor. That's the reality. The wise person considers their death, faces their death, and cries out to Christ, who's the only one who has conquered death to save me, and so that when death comes for me, as it will, I needn't fear, because I belong to Christ. and I'm safe, and I'm safe for all of eternity. Eternal life now, and for all of the future. Eternal in your thinking first. Secondly, be steadfast in your serving. That's how, in fact, how Paul finishes this chapter, chapter 15 of 1 Corinthians. He says, therefore, my beloved brothers, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain. That we who are following Christ sometimes get tired. We want to give it up. And Paul is saying, no, think of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the Lord. There's much work to be done, isn't there? Are you serving the Lord? See, our future determines our present priorities. First, be eternal in your thinking. Secondly, be steadfast in your serving. Third, be authentic in your believing. I plead with you. Make sure you have Christ. That you're not just paying lip service to Jesus Christ, that you truly know him, that you've believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, and he'll save you and he'll give you eternal life, because God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ today, now, and you'll have eternal life. Here is a prayer which, if it comes from your heart, you can use, not just words, but coming from your heart. Will you pray with me? Lord Jesus, I admit that I've sinned against God. I've gone my own way. I turn from my sin. I turn from my self-centeredness. Thank you for dying on the cross for me and paying the penalty of all of my sins. I believe that you, the Son of God, arose bodily from the dead. I believe you're alive. And I call on you to save me. I trust you as my Savior and open the door of my heart to you. Come in, Lord Jesus. Cleanse me. Save me. Help me to live for you.
This is The Verdict with Pastor John Monroe and the end of a message titled Death Conquered. Stay tuned because John will be back in just a moment. First, we'd like to extend a special bonus offer to our listeners. It's a free copy of John's helpful booklet titled Eternal Security, Finding Certainty in a Chaotic World. Deal with personal doubts or questions about your faith and be encouraged as you gain a better understanding of what salvation by grace really means. You can download or request a mailed copy of this free booklet today when you visit theverdict.org. And while you're on our homepage, don't forget to sign up for our monthly email list. It'll help you stay in the loop on our latest ministry news and upcoming events. Now, before we hear John's closing remarks, we want to encourage you to make your own impact in the lives of other listeners and help someone else find new life in Christ by supporting our ministry with a financial gift of any amount. By helping us cover the cost to produce and distribute these biblical messages, you'll ensure we can continue sharing the gospel with new listeners across the globe. To send your one-time donation of any amount, just go to theverdict.org. And then if you haven't already, be sure to subscribe to The Verdict Podcast, available on your podcast app. And then consider leaving us a comment and 5-star review to help others find the program. Now, here's Pastor John Monroe with today's closing remarks.
Well, what's your verdict? How do you view your death? Are you afraid of it? Do you deny it? Think you'll escape it? If your trust is in Jesus Christ, who conquered death, you can face death as through the grace of God, you receive as a gift from God eternal life. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Trust him, love and serve him, and rejoice that through the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, you have eternal life.
Thanks for joining us today on The Verdict. I'm Michelle Davies. Today's program with Pastor John Monroe was produced and sponsored by Calvary Church in Charlotte, North Carolina.